Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Hello, and welcome to Reigns of Ed Show on the Free Talk Live Network. In a busy week, we have information on the latest update on Elon Musk's attempt to crush the Reigns of Ed Show, and you all know that that is for real. Immigrants take a stand against immigration. 63% of Americans think a third political party is needed. Robert Kennedy Jr. plans to run as an independent, and whose campaign does he hurt more? Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin starts to raise money for a presidential run while Nikki Haley surges in the polls. And in probably the most important scientific study in recent memory, gay sex between animals evolved for a very important reason. Plus, your listener voicemails. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And yes, you are. And Mark is, you know, there's so much that's happened this week. So much that's so close and dear to our hearts, especially your heart, and if it's dear to your heart, it's in the vicinity of my heart. But you know, the regular listeners have absorbed all this for the past week. Now here it is, even though we pre-record just by a teensy bit. It's Friday when most people are hearing this for the first time, at least. I know a lot of you listen over and over again to get the fine points of the podcast. But anyway, and really, that warms Mark's heart to see those downloads and the streams. Me, I am just above it all. But Mark counts those things. And so you make him happy when you do that. And when Mark's happy, I'm happy.
Indeed.
And so when Mark's not happy, I'm not happy. Actually, I get along pretty well, okay, anyway. But there's been a lot happening in Mark's world this week. And, Mark, I know that Ian Freeman is iconic to libertarians, but he's your co-founder, your friend, probably one of the longest adult relationships you've had. This has nothing to do with that study I was talking about. But,
it has a little bit to do with it.
Well, you know, they say that males have trouble forming friendships.
Mm.
And then I would opine to add to that, and females don't have trouble forming friendships with other females so that they can hate them that much better. But Mark, what all has happened? Give us your summary, and I've got questions.
Well, so my longtime co-host, Ian Freeman, was sentenced on Monday to 8 years in prison, and they took him into custody immediately, which was a little bit of a surprise. Not to say that it should have been. I don't know whether it should have been, but it was. You know, we had the expectation that he would have a couple few weeks before the restitution hearing, where he would know what his sentence was and be able to prepare for that. Because it truly could have been house arrest to the rest of his life in prison. And it was...
Well, wait a minute. You mean, like, effectively the rest of his life in prison? Because it wasn't a life imprisonment penalty, was there?
No, it wasn't a life... but he was facing something. At one point, he was facing over 100 years, if you totaled them all up.
Modern medicine.
They're not going to give it to convicts.
Experimental.
But if you took all seven charges that were currently in the mix and you ran them consecutively, it still could have been the remainder of his life, if that's the case. We didn't think that was a possibility, and neither did the judge, apparently. So anyway, 8 years. It's been kind of a rough couple of days, so you know, thinking about it. But I did speak to his attorney this morning. Regarding his...
At least as we speak, not as people listen.
Correct. Wednesday morning. I spoke to his attorney, and first I need to define what post-conviction relief means.
Well, I think you, what was he found guilty of?
He's found guilty of, I'd say the major crime was conspiracy to commit money laundering, and then running an unlicensed money transmission business and tax evasion.
And what's the difference between conspiracy to money launder and money launder?
Conspiracy is talking about it. You know, the suggestion is that he worked with, and this is what the conviction sort of says. The jury would have understand that the narrative that was given, the jury definitely sided with what they decided now to call victims, and previously they were just witnesses. And these they sided with the victims and their problems, you know, basically falling in love with, you know, imaginary people and getting ripped off. Whereas...
Let me interpret that a little bit. So there were scam artists,
yep,
that preyed on, was it primarily females?
There was one guy that was being threatened by the imaginary IRS to send Bitcoin. Ladies and gentlemen, if the IRS calls you and wants you to send Bitcoin, it's a scam. The IRS is never going to call you, and they're never going to ask for Bitcoin. Never, ever going to ask for
Bitcoin. What about lonely men? Will they call you and ask for Bitcoin?
Well, they'll probably contact you on Facebook and that kind of thing. Lonely people of all sorts. There are not singles in your area looking to meet you. You know, like... Sorry. Especially not single hot people.
Asian women?
Yeah, not. But you've spoken a little bit. The algorithm knows your preference.
I believe that's my friend's preferences, because I never take the bait.
Okay.
But I look at who the friends are that, you know, are in that Venn diagram, or they're in the middle there. They're friends of them, and they're friends of me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same guys all the time. But anyway, we digress.
I get what you're saying now.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was talking to Ian's attorney about the appeal, and like all attorneys, he is hopeful before anything's been done that this will be very effective. And but I would caution everybody that just because Ian wins an appeal doesn't necessarily mean he does less time. Let me explain. I have not, the sentencing paper hasn't come out. We just know that Ian's been sentenced to 8 years. So how is that going to work out? Likely, he's going to have 8 years for the conspiracy to commit money laundering, and then there's going to be lesser amounts run concurrently at the same time with that 8 years. So if he's sentenced to, let's say, 3 years for the tax evasion charges, each one of them run concurrently, then he would have to do 3 years for the tax evasion charge. If he's sentenced for the money transmitting charges at 2 years and then 8 years for the money laundering, then he would have to do and then you took away all of the tax evasion charges. Nothing would change because he still has 8 years. They're all run concurrently. Excuse me. They're all run concurrently. So you
does
can
that
take
mean at the same time?
At the same time, they're all run at the same time. So pulling out half of the charges and diminishing, and that thus the 3 years doesn't make a difference because you have to do 8 years because he has to do 8 years. So anyway, that's the difference between concurrent and consecutive. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I know that.
So from a mathematical point of view, if for some reason the one with the biggest penalty gets dropped, that has the biggest effect on reducing time served.
That has the only effect on time served. Now, it certainly could be that the appeals court sees merit in the appeal and says, you know what, pull him out of prison while we figure this out. That certainly is a possibility. And that could make a difference between weeks and months, because it'll be many months on appeal.
Now, what type of facility is he in right now or going to right now? Is it federal? Is it?
He's currently in the Merrimack County Jail being paid for by the...
That hell.
Well, it isn't the nicest place. I have been there.
Well, I'm glad you visited him.
I did. So he was in the Merrimack County Jail, and he is in the Merrimack County Jail, and he will likely remain there until the, at the very least, the restitution hearing. So there's more to come, and this is why I didn't expect him to go to prison now.
Now, as I understand it, there's a fine for the violations that he's been.
The government demands $40,000.
And now, who is the restitution for?
The restitution. Now, Ian asked in his allocation speech.
His what speech?
Allocation, I believe, is the terminology.
What's that speech?
I'm sorry speech.
The remorse and mercy plea.
And, you know, one of the things he said is, hey, look, I'm in a difficult position. I don't believe I'm guilty. And I have appeals in. But here's what I think about what happened. And he gave a great speech that soon will be available at ian.freetalklive.com. That's ian.freetalklive.com. It may be there as we speak.
I saw some of the news reports, and I think from the Associated Press and then local, and they said that he got an ovation from the spectators in the courtroom.
That's correct. He did. They, you know, many of the spectators.
Did the judge bang the gavel and say, "Shut up, you people"?
No, the judge. Riff-raff. The judge did not stop people from reacting. You know, the jury's not there.
Was there a tear in his eye?
I can't see that far.
I probably couldn't have either.
He's gone through. The judge has been through a few of these. I think he's probably emotionally hardened, at least to some extent. So. In the allocation speech, you asked me a question, then you took me off track, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten what the question was.
Well, the question was very relevant.
So, basically, in his speech,
the restitution.
The restitution.
Yes. Okay. What?
He asked in the speech that the money that he... that he not be fined, that the money not go to the government to drop $1 million bombs on $10 tents half a world away, but in fact be given to the victims of the scam artist. Even though
now, does the government already have the money?
That's the other hearing. So if there's another hearing that's going to go on at the same time, which is it's restitution and forfeiture. So there are three financial aspects to this. There is a fine, there is restitution, and there is forfeiture. Now, let me explain each of those. The fine is, this is what you've got to pay to the government for doing a bad thing. And that is separate from the other two. Restitution is, what do you have to pay to help make whole for your level, for your participation in this crime, these victims? And then three, you may not keep the government is not going to return to you the proceeds of a crime. So if they determine that a certain amount of money is proceeds of a crime, which likely the cash that Ian had in his safe, which was, I think, six figures, if I remember correctly, that is therefore forfeited. It doesn't matter what the fine is. They're going to take it all. Now, I don't know whether or not the forfeiture will be applied to the fine and then just the rest of it taken, or whether it's just all taken and then you have to pay the fine. I can't answer that.
And did they get any Bitcoin when they closed down the business? Or?
When they – a little – some. So there was – the most Bitcoin that was taken was a novelty piece that was given to Ian long ago by a friend. And that novelty piece is a 100 Bitcoin coin. You can touch it. But they destroyed it by pulling off the hologram off the back, which is kind of like saying, we're going to keep our Action Comics number one for you by taking all the pictures of it and then setting it on fire.
Okay, so did they save
the coin address? Exists.
The address for the Bitcoin?
They have the Bitcoin. They have the coin, but the coin has been, you know, the mint condition coin comic has been opened. Okay. Essentially,
I turned into something. But, I mean, they still have access to whatever wallet the 100 Bitcoin are in.
Yes,
well, that's a significant amount of money.
It is.
Have I told you about the scammer that got me to give my life savings because they said I really had a cute smile? They said they were in New Hampshire.
That's right.
I don't know. No, I'm sorry. It's not something to be made light of. But I mean, what else can you do?
You might be right. Everybody should contact the state's attorney and say, hey, I got scammed. I need some money.
Yeah, I was wondering if there might be like one of those, have you been exposed to, you know, asbestos type ads? That...
I don't think so.
Hey, how many identified victims are there?
I can say that there was probably about a half a dozen people that they brought in to testify. I don't know how many.
But you don't know how many they had in reserve?
The claim is that 73% of the transactions were not tainted by sort of scammers. They cannot prove that they can only prove that scammers were involved in 27% of the transactions.
But not 27% of the volume.
I believe it's the volume.
Huh. Okay. All right. Well, that's sort of the state of things.
Yeah.
But tell us about Ian. I mean, when did you first meet him?
Well, I met him when I just down the road here. When I my first day of working at Clear Channel Communications in Sarasota, Florida, I met one of the DJs at the rock station at the time, and he, you know, we struck up a friendship. And after
Ian was a DJ.
Ian was a DJ.
And it, was this back when you had live DJs and they actually played the music consecutively? It wasn't like when they just recorded a few liners and then they used that on a bunch of stations.
They recorded a few liners, but they did it for one station and they did it in the studio. So it was the interim between real jocks doing breaks, live breaks, and...
Now, Clear Channel was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were like the number one radio company.
And certainly in this market. Yeah.
And what was the what time slot did Ian have?
Ian didn't have a slot. He was a floater. He was filling in. So he was, you know, he was a young guy.
So more than an intern, but yeah. He didn't get the appearance fee or going down to the nightclub on the weekend, right?
He did get some appearance fees by
really?
Radio stations and things like
and
that. And car dealerships.
Okay. But he was he a nightclub kind of appearance?
No, no one would come to see Ian at a nightclub.
No, okay. Yeah, I talked to him long ago. I don't think I've ever seen him in real life.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Well, I've seen pictures. But
yeah.
I imagine he probably looks like the pictures.
He does. He looks a lot like them. That's how cameras work.
All right. So you guys hit it off right away?
Yeah. We always like to talk about issues rather than anything else. So we
now, who was the libertarian first?
He was.
And did he
convert
you? I would have
just called myself a ditto head with some deviant Republican thoughts. Non-Republican thoughts. Deviant non-Republican ideas. But I think that's how most people are, right? Like, most people adhere to their party's line to some percentage, but they don't agree with everything it says.
No, I don't know about that.
Okay. How do you feel about how do you feel about gun ownership? Exactly like Democrats feel?
No. I don't know how Democrats feel, but I know how the...
I know how the party reacts.
I know how the special interests feel, and... Yep. Or even more importantly, what they give money for you to say. But, yeah. Anyway, we're getting off. Enough about me. Let's get back to you. All right. So you guys had this, common interest. You talked and so like that. When did it become something like, hey, we should do a radio show?
It didn't. So
Ian, how did this happen then?
Right. So Ian told me that his life's dream was to be a talk show host. We ended up actually.
How old was he at this point?
So Ian is 20. Maybe he's 20 years old.
All his life, he had.
That was his life's dream. I mean, 20-year-olds have life's dreams. Sure.
Okay.
He and I started. What he wanted to do was he wanted to meet up and do a sort of networking thing together where we would talk about what we had to do during the week and just sort of efficiency group. I don't know how to describe it, but where the two of us got together and talk about goals for the month or something and what we wanted to achieve and, you know, in our businesses and things like that. So we got together and we did.
So like Amway.
It was like that, yeah. As a matter of fact, at the time, he was selling magnetic mattress covers from a company called Nikon, something like that.
So those weren't for water beds?
I don't know.
I'm thinking
allowed to bring it back to other week jokes. Other week's jokes.
Topics.
Yeah, topics. Because people won't know. Anyway.
That's why you've got to go download more of this podcast. You can Google Reins and Edge or your favorite search engine. You can do this, and you'll find in nice 20-minute digestible chunks. You will find it somewhere.
Yeah, we have the segments and the whole show, depending on how you want to listen to it. Or the Free Talk Live Network, you can go and download it there too. So at these events, I, of course, found out a lot about Ian, because it's only the two of us sitting at like a Perkins restaurant at a Denny's, you know, talking about our goals. And so I found out that he wanted to be a talk show host. I was friends with the manager of the entire radio station group. He was the one who hired me on, so he had a special interest in me. I mentioned to Big Jim Davis, the voice of WOR-FM in New York City, I mentioned to him that this is what Ian's goal was. Once the radio, the rock station flipped formats to a talk station, I mentioned to Big Jim that Ian wanted to be a talk show host. Big Jim said, get me a... an air check. Have him get me an audition. And Ian got him an audition. And he got a segment on the show, Siberia. It was Sunday night from 7 to 11 p.m. And he was very excited about it. He was on with another friend, and that guy, and he did the show for a long time, like a year or so. But anyway, the first night he asked me, hey, will you cover phones? Because, you know, I'd just broken up with my fiance at the time, and it's like, sure, I'll cover phones with you. Sounds like fun. And then Ian starts talking as wrong. And there was a microphone in front of me, so I pulled it over, and I explained to him why he was wrong. And that's really how the show was born.
What about the other person?
He chuckled a lot.
Oh. So right from the very beginning, you were getting ready to muscle that other guy out and take over.
Well, you know, to some extent, that's...
some things are destiny.
That's how these things can go, right? Somebody's got to get a knife in the back. Thanks, Mike. It was great for working with you.
Yeah. Or, as they call you off the air, Pete Best. So, all right. So now you're...
I don't know who Pete Best is.
He was the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, we've got lots more coming up here, whereas we go down memory lane with Mark and his journey to wherever he is now and why he's talking to me. You're listening to Range and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Amid the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict, the U.S. is actively addressing the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. President Biden, speaking in Philadelphia, had this to say about Hamas.
These guys make Al-Qaeda look pure. They're pure evil.
He said his administration is collaborating with Arab nations to increase aid to Gaza. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan has been selected as the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House. The decision was made in a closed-door meeting this afternoon. To secure the Speaker's position, he'll need to garner a minimum of 217 votes from his own party. Healthcare premiums will rise next year for the nearly 66 million Americans enrolled in the government's Medicare program. The standard monthly cost of Medicare Part B will increase 6% from $164.90 to $174.70. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And we're going down memory lane here with Mark. I'm looking back. Actually, now we're almost in the origins of Free Talk Live. If you haven't, you probably want to go back and listen to that. We did a quick summary of problems in the judicial system that Ian Freeman has faced. But we got into how Mark and Ian got together, and we're going to explore that a little bit more now. So just to help you get to where we are right now, if you're just tuning in after the messages that you heard over the air, we found Mark and Ian at the first night of Ian's debut talk show in Sarasota, Florida, or Sarasota, Bradenton, greater metro area. And did it go up to Tampa at that point?
This was on 105.9 when it was licensed to Rotunda at 4,500 watts. So, no, sometimes it didn't make it to the studio.
This was an FM station, though.
It was an FM station.
Did they turn it down at night?
I don't think so. They generally don't with FMs. No. No, they did not.
All right. Didn't bounce it off the Gulf and send it up to St. Pete or anything.
No.
All right. So you're the first night, and Mark almost immediately started worming his way into the second chair and getting rid of poor old Mike, the fifth Beatle there, or the third Simon and Garfunkel or whatever. Adopted child of the mamas and papas that was kicked to the curb at some rest area. But just as a sidebar to this, because you said, my words, you were groomed by right-wing talk radio for this this gig. And this was 21 years ago?
Yeah, I guess it would be 21 years ago.
Because it wasn't really Free Talk Live yet.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Well, the first show was called Free Talk Live.
Really?
Yeah.
That was Ian's.
Ian's idea. Yeah, he came up with the name of the show.
Was he already planning this libertarian takeover?
He, so he worked what was called at the time Real Radio 105.9. He was one of the board ops for that. And he was paid the same as he was as a DJ, but they didn't get the appearance fees. And so while he's sitting there board opping and doing push-ups or whatever in the, during programming or
I've never seen the board op do a push-up.
Well, this board op, more than one time I'd walk into the studio, he'd have his shirt off doing push-ups, drinking a big milk carton, milk jug full of water. He drank one every day.
Okay.
So
that should have been your warning, but go ahead.
So he listened to...
Oh, you were buff back then, too.
He came up with I was. He came up with his idea for the show at that time, while sitting there and just sort of...
Wait, listening. So you had come out of working in a gym, right?
Yeah.
And now Ian's there, shirt off, doing push-ups, hydrating himself.
Uh-huh.
And you're the ex-gym guy.
Uh-huh.
Was it really the political talk, or were you just sort of the like a bromance thing going on there?
I think I like that Ian took wild positions, and I like to argue against those positions. Because I have always been sort of the voice of reason. No, this is how you do things, because this has the least negative externalities.
So the mutual appreciation of your buffness was just a sidebar.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. So we're there. So 21 years ago, and you've been groomed on right-wing talk radio, what was the issue that really fired both of you up back then?
Well, the first issue that we talked about on Free Talk Live was the right to the Florida amendment to ban smoking in businesses was...
That's how the world would end.
Right. I mean, you know, like, my position is that you should be able to run your business the way you want to run your business. If you want to let people smoke in your business, whatever it might be, let's say it's a radio station, then if they don't like it, they can go to the radio station that has non-smoking. Now, personally, I'm not going to go to a restaurant that allows smoking. I'm just not interested in it anymore. I've lived in a world where we don't smoke in restaurants enough. I don't have to live like this any longer, and I'm not going to. But it's one of the reasons I don't go to nightclubs and bars. I don't want to smell that stuff. But I think that should be somebody else's, that should be the business owner's decision, not the just the public at large telling people how to run their business.
And I will just say one phrase that, just to fire up the libertarians in Keene, is what is mistaken or what is portrayed as freedom of choice is really the tyranny of a minority that has the power, which is flip side of the libertarianism. But let's go back to you and Ian.
It's anti-democratic because the business owner gets to make the decision. And then, of course, if they let the smokers...
you got to go back farther. Like, when I was little, and on the end cap of the... Publix is the main grocery chain in the southeast United States. When I was little, there were ashtrays, stand-up ashtrays, at the end of the aisle as you go down every other row at Publix. So even though it could have been a minority of people were choosing to smoke, you were exposing children and others to the negative effects. You're externalizing the cost. But this isn't a libertarian back and forth yet. It's not Reins and Edge about ashtrays at Publix for the 3-year-old sucking up the fumes. It's about...
But we can do that.
So that was the issue. You're not going to suck me into this.
cigarette smoke.
We have hours in our future that I know it would be compelling because you're under the impression that you're right and it makes for good radio. But that was motivational. I think 21 years ago,
and then
would be 2002. So it was George H.W. Bush? No, George W. Bush administration.
Yeah, the Bush administration pretty much
started. Already had 9/11.
It was post 9/11. And then basically
you guys fired up patriots then? Go get the people that did this to us?
No. Ian's been anti-war the whole time. I will admit to have been pro-Iraq war until I saw what happened when they, you know, did the Iraq war. Like, it was just...
Very pro-Afghan invasion, then.
Yeah, if they could have told me that the Canadians were hiding Osama bin Laden, then I'd been for invading Canada. It wouldn't have made a difference. So
we're here. In Sarasota, the show launches, and what's the reaction?
Well, we were we wall-to-wall calls for the entire
now,
time.
Now, if they put anything on there, would it have been wall-to-wall calls, or was this unusual for that station? Especially on a Sunday.
Nobody cared about 105.9 WYNF, and this was a great thing. We were offered within 2 weeks, offered to go weeknights, and we did. And we were on weeknights for about a year. I was on for about 4 months. Then the sales manager came and said, "Hey, Mark, do you want to run? You want to be the sales manager for 105.9 WYNF?" And I'm like, "Not for this little dinky station. I got other plans." And he said, "Well, then you're fired because they can't have somebody working for another radio station." I was working for a radio station across town, but being on my air. And I'm like, "Okay, you sure you don't want to be the sales manager?" "No." And so I was off the air.
And you don't have to identify, but what type of station were you working for across town?
It was basically a talk station, you know.
Was it AM?
Yeah, AM. You know, maybe it was a good idea, maybe it wasn't. But
so you were on an FM talk.
Yep.
Really sort of groundbreaking at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on a little Sarasota AM station.
Yeah, I just didn't think in this market that that the hot talk format, you know, the let's talk about, you know, things and disagree and you know, talk about girls and locker room stuff and things like that, that the hot talk format was going to fly in Sarasota, Florida, which was full of old people.
And were you doing a good income in the other Sarasota station?
Sufficient.
Was it an AM standalone station?
Yep, AM standalone.
Okay.
It was doing okay. Not the greatest, not the worst. So I managed that for a little while. Then they flipped the format on that station and turned it back to something musicy and fired Ian. Ian then took the show, put it on a different AM standalone talk station in Sarasota, Florida. And I would, you know, show back up for, I think it was called Manwich Thursdays. Manwich was my name on the air. And I would be on Thursday nights. And then
no trademark issues over that.
That comes a little later in the story. So then I was managing the AM that I was managing, 1220, and Ian started working for me as a board op. And then at some point he brought the show over. And
now which station did you? Yeah, because you just identified a station.
Yep.
Which one?
1220.
Okay.
So I was managing 1220. Ian came to work for me. He brought Free Talk Live.
Were you doing the morning show then?
Yep. I did the morning show.
I think I heard you a few times.
Then, thank you. Then Ian, when he was working for me, he decided, "Hey, we got this space on the station. I'd like to bring Harry Brown, the Harry Brown show on." He was the one-time libertarian candidate for president. He did a show. It was pretty good. He called the syndicate who had them, GCN, Genesis Communications Network, asked them about when he got Harry Brown, but he asked them, "Hey, do you have any spots for shows?" And they said, "Yes." So Free Talk Live then went national on three stations.
And that was what year?
2004.
And that time you're still in Sarasota.
Yep.
Okay.
And then it went national, and we began to grow it. By the time we moved up to New Hampshire in September 2006, we were on 25 radio stations and making a living.
Okay. That you sort of jumped there.
Okay.
Now, you were making money in Sarasota at the station you were at, right?
Yep.
You're making a livelihood?
Yeah.
Paying bills.
At some point, I moved over to SRQ Magazine. I left the station. I didn't feel like there was a lot of upward mobility.
SRQ was the
lifestyle magazine.
Every city of decent size has a magazine that features local people, local
yep.
venues, et cetera. But it really does have a sort of a captive advertiser base.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got the get that back. Well, first of all, we have to explain some things. Many years ago, there were these things called magazines, and some of them had color on the inside and print that you would read, and you would turn the pages, and you would get the story, and in between the stories would be advertisements, and you would sell those things, advertisements that were visual, and because there could only support usually one of those magazines in an urban area. Anybody that wanted to do print advertising, which many years ago people did things called print advertising, you had some contracts and you locked them in and you had a probably had a base that was pretty solid.
Yeah, had a good book.
And they once you got your book big enough, did they fire you so they could take him in house and then put a new guy on?
They don't do that kind of thing at SRQ, no.
Oh, okay.
No, they had a significant level of competence. So I left. I said, thank you very much. And I still go see my friends over there pretty regularly. I like them. They're good folks.
Did they have a website back then when you were there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they've gotten it yet.
So even in 2005,
yeah,
the magazine did not have a website.
They might have had a website, but it was nothing more than, you know, fill this out and subscribe.
Mm.
Or whatever. Print this and mail it in.
That was only 17 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the world's changed, right?
Yes, it has. Although I will say that
the iPhone
my radio show had a website back then.
The iPhone hadn't even come out at that point.
In fact, not that I would ever toot my own horn, but the web hosting company got a little upset with how much bandwidth we were using at one time.
That's a nice humble brag. I love it.
Anyway, just like what? Why does that make a difference?
So we moved up in 2006 to New Hampshire for the Free State Project.
That's what I wanted to get to. So why? What was going on in 2006? How did it get your attention? And whatever got your attention, when did it really start before you heard about it?
So Ian found out, you know, one of the problems with running a libertarian radio program is that the Republicans know the solution to Democrat politics, which is vote Republican. The Democrats know the solution to Republican politics, that's vote Democrat. However, the solution to the two-party system isn't vote Libertarian. Because, when does a Libertarian win? And at that time, it was never. So the idea of telling our audience, hey, you know, there's these problems, why don't you vote Libertarian, seemed like a very hollow solution. And in the same
way, that bothered you.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
And so what's a better solution? How about move everybody to one state and see what happens when
freeze their butts off.
Freeze their butts off. See what happens when there's enough of putting them together, and you know.
So let me just put this in perspective for the people that aren't in New Hampshire listening to you. So you're in a community that's growing, making a livelihood. You're in a place that periodically is voted the best beach in the United States of America, and you never have to shovel snow. You're never going to slip on the sidewalk and break your hip from ice. You're going to walk around when you're not working in shorts and flip-flops. And you said, let's move to New Hampshire.
I did.
Okay. All right. I just wanted people to understand that.
I think that for me it was the draw of being on the radio. I was on the radio.
You were already on the radio.
I was.
So how could it be the draw of being on the radio?
Well, I would be off the radio if Ian moved the show up to New Hampshire, and I didn't move.
Well, you just do over Zoom.
I'm sorry. Zoom didn't exist. Skype didn't exist well enough. And we weren't trying to do that just doesn't work as well as being in the studio.
And Ian was determined. He did not give you a vote on this.
I probably could have drugged my feet and made things more difficult for the move, but Ian was...
But at this point, you're already on the 25 stations?
Yeah.
So you already had a livelihood?
We were building it, yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we moved, and I think it was great. I'm glad that we moved.
Had you always lived in Florida up until that time?
Yep.
Okay.
My whole life I lived in Florida. And not so bad. You wear more clothes. I chose to live out in the country and have a little farm.
Well, you're still in an age where you could deal with it.
Yeah. I still slip on the ice, though. I'm still bitter about that part.
Yeah.
And I never really got into any of the winter sports. To me, living up north, you've got to have a winter sport to really make it make sense.
Indoor pickleball.
Well,
they didn't have that either.
No, pickleball had not yet been invented.
Well, it had been, but Okay. Nobody knew it.
Okay. You'd know better the history of pickleball than I.
Yes. Okay.
So then from 2006 till...
All right. So you're up there, and why did you choose Keene?
This is the part. This is now we're getting to the bitterness part.
what did Keene in 2006 look like?
There was this activist named Russell Canning, whom Ian glorified because at the time Ian didn't believe that you could solve any problems by participating within the political system. You had to do things from without. And there was this outside the system activist who, went and threw snowballs at the IRS office in Keene, New Hampshire. He would go in and do silent protests inside the office and get arrested. He, did a variety of things. And Ian was really excited about that guy. Now he does sometimes flat earth outreach tables in different places that he lives. I think he might have moved back to New Hampshire, but he left for about 15 years. Ian was excited about this guy, decided to move to Keene where he was, and bought a house.
Well, there's a lot to be said about the flat earth theory.
There's a lot to be said about it, yes.
So isn't the earth like 70% covered with water?
Correct.
Is it carbonated water?
No.
So technically it's flat.
There you go.
All right.
Rather salty.
I never thought I'd get to use that. Okay. So you're there at Keene. How many people live there?
Keene, New Hampshire probably has about 20,000 people who aren't college students.
And was it 20,000 back when you were moved there?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
So it's just sort of status quo.
Yeah. The population of New Hampshire is growing slightly. And a large percentage of that, probably not a majority of it, a large percentage of those people are free staters that are moving in.
When did the term free state movement happen? Start.
It was called the Free State Project. I think it was started in 2001 or 2002. They picked New Hampshire in 2005.
How did they pick New Hampshire?
It was a vote. The first 5,000 participants in the Free State Project voted on which state they wanted to see among all the states.
It's an online vote, or did have they mail stuff in? Or?
I think it was an online vote in some manner. I didn't participate.
They had at least invented that by then.
I wanted to know what state was chosen before I participated for some dumb reason. And so they picked the bottom quarter of states. Basically, had to have less than 2 million population. And then the founder excluded Rhode Island for corruption and Hawaii for just being, wholly.
So on the move, did Ian get there first?
No, we moved the same day.
Okay.
We moved up in the same truck.
All right. And were you single at that time or you were?
My wife followed me.
Okay.
So she came up later.
Cautiously.
She wasn't real excited about it, but she did want to have a baby very badly.
Well, I didn't know New Hampshire is where she was more fertile.
Well, it's where I was.
Okay. Well, I guess there's positives. All right. So you're up there. You already have the show going. It's already strong. Did it, get a boost from being up there?
Ian considers the time spent in New Hampshire to be when Free Talk Live was sort of real, that everything before that was all practice. So,
but what do you consider?
I do like the shows. When we burned the bridge, right? So if you want to win a war, you take your troops across the bridge and you burn the bridge. And that's how you win the battle or whatever.
Well, you sort of mess up your logistical supplies. But okay, details.
Indeed. I'm not a modern battle. If you want to win an ancient battle, you march them over, burn the bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had burned the bridge by moving to New Hampshire, and the show had to be good. So, yeah, I do feel like it.
Where'd you first live?
In Keene?
Yeah. Well,
At Ian's house. I was in his guest room. And then for about a month, and then rented a place, and then bought a piece of property, built a house, and raised a kid, and the whole thing.
Is that the house that the studio's in now?
Yes. Same house the whole time.
So he, from 2006 on, he was there.
Yes.
And you found separate abode.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other people there now.
Lots and lots of them. And they don't live communally or anything like that. It's just different houses and
just selfish
get together.
Like libertarians.
Indeed. Mine. So, right. So they, they get together and pay for their own meals.
Okay.
And
so let's
communally.
Let's take a jump. Bitcoin is introduced what year? 2010?
In December 28, 2010, a caller, Jeremy West, calls in and discusses this magic internet money. We were quite skeptical.
Okay, time out. Jeremy, you don't need to leave a voicemail about how we need to send you more Bitcoin. It's okay. Please continue.
I think people should send Jeremy Bitcoin.
No, they should send me Bitcoin.
This is all the
I don't get any credit.
Give it away. And you found out about Bitcoin sort of separately from me. Anyway, then in January of that of 2011, the then head developer of Bitcoin, who was also a amplifier of our show, guy who paid a certain amount per month in order to get episodes that were commercial free, he says, "Hey, I've heard you talk about Bitcoin. I want to clear some things up for you. Can I come up for lunch?" He calls that the most profitable lunch of his lifetime because he credits Free Talk Live.
Now who is that?
His name's Gavin Andreessen.
Okay.
He
Andreessen Horowitz?
No, I don't know who that is.
But he's not part of Andreessen Horowitz?
No. I don't know what that means.
It's a big venture capital company.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
He
somebody stole his name and ran with it.
Yeah, whatever. He did change his name to Andreessen. Anyway, he decided to come up, talk to us. He, over the course of, say, a couple of hours at the Thai restaurant in Keene, New Hampshire, explained Bitcoin. I offered to sell him some podcast ads.
We have got to take a time out here. I was so enraptured by this discussion. We'll continue it on the other side. You're listening to me, Brains and Edge, on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.